you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for each one who's here. We thank you, Lord, for this season, for this evening, for the day tomorrow. Thank you for the friends and family that each one will gather with. But above all, Lord, we're grateful for the great salvation that you've given. Father, be glorified as we look to your word and think of Christ coming into this world to be light. May you be glorified among each one of us here this evening. I thank you. Amen. In our Sunday morning services, as we've been going through the series, Why Jesus Came, we've looked at different aspects that we see there in Scripture. And as with the help of Ken and Ryan, we've went over this, that Jesus came to make us sons, that we would be adopted and made heirs of God the Father. Ryan discussed that Jesus came to save sinners. And last Sunday, Ken talked about that Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. This morning, then, we discussed that Jesus came to fulfill the law, that he is our righteousness. And finally, next week, we will end the series and close by talking about Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. But tonight, as it is Christmas Eve, and as we will light our candles, as we focus on Jesus being the light, people being in darkness, and the word used for darkness there in the New Testament often refers to evil, often refers to the wickedness of man. As the hymn goes, long lay the world in sin and error pining. We were in darkness as our first parents sinned against their Creator. These creatures from the dirt that shook their fists at the holy God who made them. And so sin entered into the world. And you and I have continued that darkness and rebellion. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, many would hesitate to admit that the world is, or many would not hesitate, excuse me, to admit that the world is a dark place, full of pain and full of suffering. There are acts of hatred and violence, lust and greed. But even on a personal level, we must all face death in this life, whether the death of a loved one or even our own personal mortality. Experience some loss of some sort. In all of us, that things are not the way that they should be, that they're supposed to be. And ultimately, it stems back to long ago when sin entered into the world. And so with the loss of loved ones, with the different pain and situations that many of us have gone through, instead of being a joyous time of celebration, for many, Christmas can be a hard, sad time, a difficult time of darkness. We've suffered many things. Yet my hope for you tonight is that you will know that there is a reason to celebrate. Beyond our pain, beyond our circumstances, beyond what we have faced, there is a reason to rejoice. That Jesus has come, and he has come to be light. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we read this just earlier. We read, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And in the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us that Jesus has fulfilled this text, removing the darkness of captivity. But to be light is why Jesus came. He says in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world." We read in John chapter 12, verse 46, he says, "I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." He's come to be light. And what about this light that he came to be? Well, light contrasts darkness. The light shows how dark the world is. Also, too, light reveals. It shows us what is hidden in the dark. It's easy to hide in the shadows, but light exposes. It shows us what's there. We cannot hide in the light. Look with me at this passage that we talk about here in John chapter 12. Beginning in verse 45, this is what we read. John chapter 12, verse 45. It says, though the one who looks to me is seeing the one who sent me. The one who looks to me sees the one who sent me. The one who sent Jesus is the Father. Jesus reveals the Father to us. He reveals what God the Father is like. Jesus coming into the world reveals God's character. Therefore, whoever puts their faith in Jesus no longer just gropes around in the dark, hoping to find their way, or maybe trying to make their own way. But in Jesus, we find that He is the only way to the Father. Through Jesus, we come to know the Father and experience Him and His love. And it goes on and says this. Verse 46 is the verse I referenced just earlier. It says, I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come into the world to judge, but to save the world. There is a judge, for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words, the very words I have spoken will condemn them at that last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that I know that His command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So to reject Jesus is to reject the Father. To reject Jesus' teaching is to reject the one who sent Jesus. And He reveals the Father to us, that we may be saved through the gospel, through the good news that Jesus preached. The good news that is Jesus Himself coming to save sinners. The only hope to escape the judgment that we have earned for ourselves. Again, light and darkness as being contrast to each other is a major theme in Mark's gospel. And we can even go back to the beginning of his gospel. In chapter 1, looking at verses 1 through 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The true light was coming into the world. The Word that was with God, the Word that was God, was the true light coming into the world. Jesus, born of Mary, laid in a manger, whose birth the angels announced. God in the flesh came full of grace and truth, so that whoever receives Him in repentance and faith, whoever believes in His name, would be adopted with full rights as children of God. We read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We have earned to perish. We have earned God's just wrath because we too have been creatures from the dirt who have shaken our fists at our holy Creator. We've declared that we want to be our own God as we would follow our own way. We would decide for ourselves. Not one of us, as we discussed this morning, has upheld God's standard. We've been lustful, we've been deceitful, we've been bitter, we've been selfish. And God would have been completely just to condemn us all from the start. But he loved the world in such a way that he sent his only Son. Jesus was born to save, to live, to keep God's law for us who broke it, to satisfy the justice and wrath of God in the place of sinners, to pay by his life. And verses 17 to 19 says this: For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Light has come into the world. Jesus was born, and as God, he is perfectly holy and perfectly righteous. And as a man, he lived a holy and righteous life, revealing the Father. He was light. He was holy in this dark, sinful world. But by nature, by our nature, we hate the light. Because, see, the light exposes our deeds for what they really are. We would rather justify our sins. We would rather say, it's not so bad. We would rather compare ourselves to other people and say, see, I'm not as bad as that, right? I'm not like that person that, you know, just turned on the news and say, listen, I'm not like that. And we can easily justify ourselves in such a way. So we will not come into the light because the light will expose our deeds for what they actually are. We would not be able to compare ourselves to others, trying to find someone worse than us by our own standards. The light exposes our deeds for what they are. When God reveals himself, when God shows who he is, we see we cannot stand before him. I think of the prophet Isaiah. When God pulled back the curtain and gave him a view of the throne room of God, and to hear the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And of what we know of Isaiah, he seemed to be a pretty good guy. It would have been easy for Isaiah to compare himself to other people and say, listen, I'm not so bad. Look, I'm not like those Philistines over there. I'm not like those worshiping Baal and all those other gods. It would have been easy for Isaiah to compare himself to others and pat himself on the back. But when he gets a glimpse of the holiness of God, what does he say? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Woe to me," I cried. Woe is a pronouncement of judgment on himself. He says, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." When the light shined, and Isaiah could not compare himself to anyone but the holiness of God, he saw himself for what he was: a man of unclean lips, a man with a filthy heart, a man who is ruined if he must stand on his own before God. The Bible is clear. None of us can stand before God and not face his judgment. We are guilty. We need to come into the light. It goes on in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. It says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light." And the Bible is clear. We have all done evil. There is none who is righteous, not even one, none who are good. Right? Romans 3. Goes on there. It says, and everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Or maybe better said, done in God. When we come into the light and we come recognizing that I am a wretched sinner, as my deeds are exposed for what they are, an infinite offense against the infinitely holy God. And I come knowing I need salvation. I need a Savior. And in that moment, we can praise God that He so loved the world that He gave His one and only. Believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you come in to the light? Will you come and see yourself for what you are before the holy God? That you need salvation. I need salvation. And Jesus Christ has come to bring salvation. Though we are in darkness, He is the light of the world. He has come to be light. And see, that's a reason to rejoice. That's a reason to celebrate. Because even in the pain that we face, even with the uncertainty of a new year, all the things that go on in this world, they are temporary. All the things that we face in this life is only for a season. But what Jesus has bought for us in His life, death, and resurrection is of eternal value. To bring glory to God now as we live for Him in response to what Jesus has done, and for all eternity sing His praises. There is a reason to celebrate, even through the tears, even through the hurt, even through the uncertainty. Because Jesus has come, and He has come to be light. Will you put your hope in Jesus Christ? Will you put your trust in Him and in Him alone? And today know the reason of celebrating at Christmas. To know the reason to celebrate all year long. To know that as we read in Revelations of those, the uncountable number gathering around the throne to sing the praises of God for all eternity. Because He is worthy. Look at the great salvation He has provided in His Son. He is worthy. We can celebrate and rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the God that You are. We thank You, Lord, that You have brought us salvation. And we thank You, Lord, that even in the midst of pain in this dark world, that You give us a reason to have joy and that we can have peace because You have made peace for us with God. Through the gospel, Christ has accomplished. We thank You for these truths. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who has not trusted in Christ alone for their salvation, today would be the day of their salvation. That they would turn from their sin and put their faith in Jesus alone and know what it is to celebrate Christmas and know the glories and the joy of Your gospel truths as they live their lives for Your honor and glory. I thank You. Amen.